Growing up, David ay nakaranas ng iba't ibang klaseng afflictions. He has experienced different types of problems. Nung siya ay teenager, madalas siyang maliitin sa pamilya. Madalas siyang maliitin ang kanyang mga kuya. Madalas po siyang kainisan. Yun siguro ang dahilan kung bakit siya nasa pag-aalaga ng tupa, which is mababa po yung katungkulan na trabaho na yon sa magkakapatid. Nung minsan nagkaroon siya ng pagkakataon na harapin ang kaaway na hukbo, isang powerful na army, ang ginawa naman sa kanya ng kaaway niya ay kinutsakotsa siya. Sinumpa-sumpa siya at minaliit ang pagkatao niya at minaliit din ang kanyang Diyos. Pero pagkatapos na talunin ang kaaway na ito, ina-expect na ikatutuwa ng kanyang hari ay hindi. Kinamunghian siya ng kanyang hari dahil sa selos. Dahil dahan-dahan umaangat ang kanyang pangalan sa sumisikat. At dahil doon, dahil nagngingit-ngit sa galit ang kanyang hari, ay pinahanting siya para papatay. At doon nagsimula lumakbay palayo si David at nagtaguho sa mga kuweba. Di nagtagal, kinoronahan siya bilang hari ng Israel. At noong time na siya ay naging hari ng Israel, doon naman sumugod yung malaking kampo ng kaaway niya upang hantingin siya ulit para patayin. Di nagtagal ilang taon, yung kanyang anak, nagnanais sa kanyang trono, ay nagtakang patayin siya at nagdabas ho ng mga kakampi niya at nagrebelde sa kanyang tatay. Sa takot ni David, siya po'y tumakas na nanganganib ang kanyang buhay sa kanyang anak kasama ng ilan mga tapat na lalaki. At habang nagmamarcha sila papalayo ng Jerusalem, na ay nasa lubong sila isang mama ng pangalan ay Shimid. Si Shimid ay isang interesting na karakter. Kasi habang naglalakad si David kasama ang kanyang mga sundalo across sa kabilang road, walang ginawa itong mama na to kung hindi batuhin siya ng insulto, batuhin po siya ng sumpa, at batuhin siya ng literal na bato. Nagalit yung mga mighty men ni David at sila, kung patayin na lang namin yan, kayang-kaya. Sabi David, wag niyong patayin yan kasi kinoconsider ko yan na ginagamit ng Panginoon upang i-rebuke ako. David is very much acquainted with sufferings. Very much acquainted with pain, afflictions, and oppressions. Tila baga wala na siyang kapahingahan sa problema. Hindi pa inaayos isang problema, meron na naman ang isa. Hindi pa inaayos yung pangalawa, meron na naman pangatlo. Kaibigan, ikaw ba? Maring hindi ka pareho ni David na isang hari na may kinakaharap na malaking suliranin. Ngunit, ang kinaharap ni David na kapighatian, paghihirap, takot at agam-agam ay maaaring kasalukuyan na nararanasan mo ngayon. Maaaring kasalukuyang pinagdadaanan mo ngayon, ikaw at ang iyong pamilya marahil. Kung wala ka naman dinaranas na affliction o pagsubok sa iyong buhay, at sinasabi mo, marahil hindi ako yung kausap mo, pastor, siniti ako po isang araw, makakaharap ka. Hindi ito pananakot, ito ay isang katotohanan. At kung dumating man yung araw na yon, dumating man yung problema na yon, dumating man yung pighati na yon, dumating man yung problema, anong gagawin mo? Anong gagawin mo? Paano mo kahaharapin ang mga pagsubok na ito? Ang psalm na aaralin natin ngayong hapon na ito ay sasagutin ito. Paano mo kakaharapin ang mga pagsubok na dumarating sa iyong buhay? Paano kung hindi lang isang beses? Paano kung hindi lang isa? Kung hindi lang dalawa? Paano kung sabay-sabay? Titingnan natin kung paano kinaharap ni David yung affliction na kanyang iniinda sa passage na ito. Ang psalm na binasa kanina ni Resel na ay isang very interesting na psalm. Kakaiba siya sa lahat ng inaral nating psalm so far. Ang nakakamangha po dito is ito yung tinatawag na isang type ng psalm, isa siyang psalm of praise, yes, pero ang pagkakaiba niya sa ibang psalm of praise, itong psalm na ito ay isang type of acrostic psalm. An acrostic psalm po ang ibig sabihin po dito is yung mga verses po, kung ito ay isang nasa original na pagkakasulat ng Hebrew, yung bawat verses niya, yung alternate verses niya, ay nakalagay po yung unang titik ng Hebrew alphabet. No, aga-alternate po siya. Halimbawa, verse 1, Hebrew letter A, kunyari. Tapos verse 3, letter B. Verse 5, letter C. So alternate po, bagamat hindi pare-pareho lahat ng letra ay nandoon, pero gumapang ho yan papuntang chapter 10. Okay? At ang dahil ho dito, maraming hong scholars ang nagsasabi na yung Psalm chapter 9 at saka Psalm chapter 10 ay iisang libro. Dapat basahin to ng isa. Dapat hindi paghiwalayan. Maraming scholar nagsabi dyan dahil natagpuan ito minsan pa sa isang translation na tinatawag na Septuagint. Magkasama po siya dito. Ibang scholars naman sinasabi na yung Psalm chapter 10 ay walang title or superscription. So probably continuation siya ng chapter 9. Tapos, both psalms refer to God's interest sa oppressed. Ngunit, ang majority po ng mga sound scholars natin throughout the years agree and believe na dapat itong psalm na to ay magkahiwalay na basahin. Dahil malaki pa rin ang significant differences ng dalawang ito. At isa ho rito ay yung tone ng dalawang chapters na ito. Ang chapter 9, which is aralin natin, talks about praise and thanks. Samantala, ang chapter 10 naman is a lament o kalungkutan. So, this and many other reasons, it is best that we study itong chapters na ito na magkahiwalay. And so, we will look at chapter 9. Ang pwede nating pagbulay-bulayan sa mga bawat letra ng alpabeto ng Hebreo na ito, na lahat ng alphabet na ginawa ko ni David dito, lahat ng start ng letter ng alphabet ng Hebrew, talks about yung kadakilahan ni Yahweh. Which is really amazing. David here is in the midst of an affliction, probably to the point na siya ay nanganganib ang kanyang buhay. David, in times of misery, chose to recount God's marvelous acts of deliverance that led him to give God thanks and praises, that also led him to confidently approach God to respond in his present afflictions. If you're going through an affliction ngayong oras na ito, or about to, my hope as we study this passage is that our praise life will be strengthened and that we will have a deeper trust in the Lord in every situation. Because ang mga anak ng Diyos should praise God for past deliverances, trust God's rescue for present and future afflictions. Praise God for past deliverances, trust God's rescue for present and future afflictions. Sa passage na ito, I have only divided this into headings. Number one, because since this is a prayer, I call it number one, prayer of praise, verses 1 hanggang 12. Number two, prayer of petition, which is verses 13 to 20. Let's start with number one, prayer of praise. Now, ang original na dahilan kung bakit isinulat ni David itong awitin na ito, ay dahil meron siyang kinahaharap na isang malaking affliction o problema. Hindi niya kinanta to na masaya, na kung saan masaya talaga ang sitwasyon niya. Hindi, magulo ang sitwasyon niya. Kung titignan niyo yung verse 13, sabi ni David, "See my affliction from those who hate me. Oh, you will lift me up from the gates of death." It's a poetic way of saying, "Lord, tulungan niyo ako, mamamatay na ako pag hindi niyo ako tutulungan." Verse 19, "Arise, O Lord, help me. Let not man prevail." Nawa hindi sila maging matagumpay sa pagsugpo sa akin. You did the cry of these men. Nung si David ay nasa kalagitnaan ng kapighatian, na kung saan siya ay litong-lito, na hindi na niya alam ang kanyang gagawin, at marahil overwhelmed na siya sa kanyang kasalukuyan na sitwasyon, he did the unimaginable. He did something that most of us, most of the time, forget. In the midst of this misery, He started giving thanks and praise. Tignan niyo yung verse 1 and 2. I will give thanks to the Lord with my whole heart. I will recount all of your wondrous deeds. I will be glad and exult in you. I will sing praise to your name, O Most High. Kung titignan niyo yung verse 1 and 2, 4 times inulit yung salitang I will. I will, I will, I will, I will. At lahat ng I will na yan ay nakatuon sa pagbibigay ng papuri at pasasalamat kay Yahweh. Hindi niya inuna ang kanyang paghingi sa kanyang pangangailangan, which some of us, if not all of us, usually start with our prayers. When we're going through challenges and circumstances, we usually start with the request, especially when the pain is intense. But not this man. Lord, praise your name. I will. Mga kaibigan, kapag ikaw ba ay may kinahaharap ng isang mabigat na kapighatian o pagsubok, ang agaran mo bang reaksyon ay sambahin ang Panginoon? O questionin siya sa iyong sitwasyon? Mga ilang bagay na mapapansin natin sa prayer of praise neto ni David. First of all, mapapansin natin sa verses 1 and 2 is yung object ng worship. Sino ang object ng worship na ito? Let's look at verse 1 and 2 again. I will give thanks to the Lord. I will recount all of your wonderful deeds. I will be glad and exult in you. I will sing praise to your name, O Most High. Lord, there is Yahweh. So the object of his worship ay si Yahweh. And since si Yahweh ang kanyang object ng worship, he puts him first in everything. He gives him full attention, full adoration. His worship is not distracted by cares and concerns na hinaharap niya because God is first. Sometimes where we are in deep pain and suffering, we are first. Even in part prayers. But not this man. He models to us, God is first. He showers him with thanks and praises regardless sa kanyang kalagayan. And he does it wholeheartedly. Hindi half-hearted. Yun yung verse 1. I will give thanks to the Lord with my whole heart. Buong puso. Is worshiping God in the midst of affliction easy? Madali ba ito? Madali ba na say, I worship you, Lord. Praise your God. Tapos alam mo na someone you love is suffering in cancer? Do you think it's easy na kung saan alam mo na wala ka ng pambayad sa susunod na bill? No, this is not easy. Dahil kapag may kinaharap ng affliction sa buhay natin, nagkakaroon tayo ng inconveniences, hindi po ba? Nawawala ang ating comfort. Nahahadlaga ng ating mga plano at kagustuhan sa buhay. Mga gusto natin dapat puntahan, hindi natin napupuntahan. Mga gusto natin mangyari, hindi nangyayari. And so, our plans are rattled. Our conveniences are threatened. Hindi po ba? At mga kaibigan, sa kabutihan ng Panginoon, pinahihintulutan niya na maranasan natin ang mga sari-saring paghihirap at problema na ito. Just so you know. Bakit? Upang matuklasan natin kung sino ba talaga ang sinasamba natin. Sino ba talaga ang Diyos natin? Kasi when pressure grows, your true God shows. Ayon sa senior pastor ng United Christian Church of Dubai, na si John Fulmer, the fight of faith is the fight to praise God, not with part of our hearts, but all our hearts. As Christians, we are called to put to death the flesh, or that part of that wants to be worshipped. At ito ang ginawa po ni David. Friends, if this is true kay David, then this is true dapat sa ating mga Kristiyano. Tayo po ay tinawag upang sambahin si Yahweh ng buong puso or with all of our hearts. Hindi lamang kapag tayo ay nasa kasagsaga ng kasaganahan at kasiyahan. Mas lalo po dapat magbigay tayo ng papuri at pasasalamat sa Panginoon kapag tayo may hinaharap na suliranin sa buhay. Ito po ang ibig sabihin ni Jesus nung tinanong siya ng isang eksperto sa salita ng Diyos kung ano ang pinaka-importanting batas sa Biblia. At ito ang sinagot ni Jesus Christ sa Matthew chapter 22, verse 22-37. Jesus said, "You shall love the Lord your God with all your heart." Dinagdagan pa niya, "with all your soul and with all your mind." So what is Jesus saying here? Jesus saying, you love God, you worship God with the totality of your being, with the wholeness of your being, all the time. Biblical worship is a matter of totality. There is no such thing as half-hearted worship. It's either you're worshiping God or not. Sa Revelation, isa sa mga warning na binigay sa churches, na sa church na kung saan, now they are lukewarm. At kung lukewarm ka, iluluwa ka ng Panginoon. Hindi mo pwede, ay, mainit ako sa Panginoon. Ay, hindi, medyo tama lang, chill lang ako, nasa gitna, Pastor. Iluluwa tayo ng Panginoon. Hindi pwede half-hearted yung worship, dapat whole. Alam niyo po ba na ang tingin ng Panginoon sa mga half-hearted worshipers? Makikita po natin yan sa Matthew chapter 15:8-9. So Matthew chapter 15, verse 8-9, Jesus quotes Isaiah 29, verse 13. At ito po ang kanyang sinabi. "This people honors me with their lips, but their heart is far from me. In vain do they worship me." Jesus calls this hypocritical worship. Kahipokritohan. Because they praise God in their worship services, but not in their whole life. Thinking that worship is only exemplified in the corporate gathering, which is, yes, it is important. We covenanted to that. Pero worship is also seen sa everyday life. And if we're not exemplifying that in every area ng ating buhay, with every elements ng ating buhay, then we are hypocrites. Jesus calls it hypocrites. David praises and thanks God regardless of his situation. Because worship takes the focus away from ourselves. That's what happens when we worship through suffering. When we really worship and we're really suffering, worship helps us to focus our attention, our devotion to God and away from ourselves, away from our concerns, away from our pain. And nakafocus ito sa Panginoon. That's worship. That's the beauty of worshiping. Pastor, ayoko mag-worship ngayon. Wala ako sa mood. Di dapat. Because worship is not based on mood, on feelings. Like we have said from the past Fridays, worship is based on God. Sa Panginoon lamang. At di po nahihinto dito yung sinasabi ni David. Tignan niyo po yung second part ng verse 1. "I will recount all of your wondrous deeds," or "I will tell about your wondrous deeds." Ano itong wonderful deeds na sinasabi ni David dito na kailangan alalahanin natin at ipagsabi? Kasi inyong recounter. Well, maaaring ito po ay ang mga kababalaghan na ipinamalas ni Yahweh nung panahon ng Exodus, nung panahon ni Moses. Well, maaaring ito po yung mismong yon sa Exodus chapter 3, verse 20. Tinawag ng Panginoon, ito po yung nangyayari sa Exodus chapter 3, verse 20, tinawag ng Panginoon si Moses upang palayain yung mga Israelita sa pag-aalipin ni Paraon. At ang sabi ng Panginoon, kapag ayaw ni Paraon, pakawalan sila, ito ang sabihin mo, Moses. Verse 20 of Exodus 3. "I will stretch out my hand and strike Egypt with" what? "With all the wonders that I will do in it. After that, he will let you go." So the wonders dito, yung kababalaghan ng nangyayari mismo sa mismong Egypt noong time na nandun pa yung mga Israelites. Okay? We call that the 10 plagues. Yun yung wonders. The Lord fought for Israel. And eventually, pinakawalan din sila ni Paraon. God wants Moses, the Israelites, us, to remember His marvelous acts of deliverance, to strengthen yung worship natin, and to deepen our confidence sa Kanya. Nanglalamig ka ba ngayon? Kapag ikaw ay nanlalamig sa Panginoon, what do you do? Friends, if that is you, recount all of the goodness ng Panginoon na ginawa niya sa buhay mo. Tingnan natin ang isa pang reference sa Psalm 106 verse 7. Ang sabi ng psalmist dito, "Our fathers, when they were in Egypt, did not consider your wondrous works." So this is a continuation of story. Na nagalakad na mismo sa desert, papunta na sa promised land, yung mga Egyptians, sinabi dito sa verse 7, when they did not consider your wondrous works, they did not remember the abundance of your steadfast love, but rebelled by the sea at the Red Sea. Anong sitwasyon dito? Pinalaya sila ni Paraon. So nandun, nagmamarcha na yung buong sambayanan ng Israel kasama si Moses, siya ang tagapamuno. Hinadlangan sila ng isang dagat, ang tawag doon, Red Sea or Sea of Reeds. Noong time nandun sila, hindi nilalam pa nilam kung anong gagawin, kung parang makakatawid doon. Si Paraon, tumigas ulit yung puso at sinabi, anong ginagawa ko? Ba't kasi pinakawalan? Sugurin yan! So sinugod niya, kasama yung kanyang mga kampo, at doon dadamputin sila para ibalik sa Egypt. Na-stress sila nung yun. Ano ang ginawa mismo ng tao? Ang problema nila ito yung problema ng Israelites. So nakita nila parating na yung mga Egyptians, at nakikita nila, mismo ay tubig na sa harapan nila. Ang problema nila is agad-agaran nila nakalimutan ang mga kababalaghan or wonders na minamalas ng Panginoon sa Egypt. Nakalimutan nila. Nakalimutan na nila na there was this darkness that can be felt. Nakalimutan nila the water turned to blood, yung River Nile. Nakalimutan nila na may mga palaka na kung saan pineste sila. Nakalimutan nila na matay yung firstborn children nila. Nakalimutan nila yon, yung nang kaaway. Pero from here, nung nakita nila yung problema parating na, agad-agad nila nakalimutan yung wondrous deeds ng Panginoon. Mga kaibigan, kapag tayo mabilis na baluta ng pangangamba at takot dahil sa isang suliranin, mabilis din ba tayo makalimot sa kabutihan na ginawa niya sa atin? Pero sa kabutihan at katapatan ng Panginoon, anong ginawa niya sa mga Israelita? Makita natin sa Exodus chapter 14, verse 13 to 14. Ito ang ginawa ni Yahweh. "Fear not, stand firm, and see the salvation of the Lord, which will work for you today. For the Egyptians that you see today, you shall never see them again. The Lord will fight for you. You only need to be still." Yun ang sinabi sa kanila ng Panginoon. Wala silang dapat gawin kung hindi kumalma lang. Chill ka lang dyan. Relax ka lang. Wala kang dapat gawin. At dito, hinati na ni Moses through the Lord's power yung Red Sea. God fought for them. Ginawa niya ang mga kahangahangang kababalaghan in order for them to marvel at His great power. And that is so true sa atin, di ba, mga kapatid? Sometimes God will put you in a situation na kansan hindi mo na alam ang gagawin mo. But then God wants to put you in that situation para makita mo yung kamanghamangha niyang gagawin so that He gets the glory. Throughout the history of God's people, gustong-gusto ng Panginoon to. Dadali niya yung mga anak niya sa isang lugar na kung saan alanganin. Na kung saan limitado ang resources, limitado ang lakas, limitado yung tulong, limitado ang kanyang lahat. Para makita nila yung marvel ng Panginoon. Sabi sa verse 2, balik tayo sa verse 2, sa Psalm chapter 9. "I will be glad and exalt in you. I will sing praise to your name, O Most High." Yan ang tamang response, mga kaibigan. That is yung tamang response sa wondrous acts of deliverance na ginawa ng Panginoon. Praise. Mga kaibigan, kapag binabasa ba natin yung wondrous acts of deliverance ng Panginoon sa Biblia, do we respond in praise and thanksgiving? Or do we find it insignificant and boring? Do you praise God in His wondrous acts of deliverance sa iyong personal na buhay? O parehas ba tayo ng mga Israelita na nakalimutan na natin ang kabutihan ng Diyos sa ating buhay? I believe maraming ginawa ang Panginoon na kabutihan sa inyong buhay. Maybe some of you even saved you from death. Pero dumating lang yung isang suliranin, immediately nakalimutan na natin to. We must remember God's wondrous acts of deliverance. David not only praised God by recounting God's wondrous acts of deliverance sa kanyang mga anak, but also praises Him, he praises God as a righteous judge. So una, praise God dahil sa mga ginawa ng Panginoon. Now he praises God dahil siya'y isang tapat na hustisya, na hukom. Look at verse 3 and 4. When my enemies turn back, they stumble and perish before your presence. For you have maintained my just cause. You have sat on the throne giving righteous judgment. Sa kalagitnaan ng krisis, inaalala din ni David kung papaano siya personally na niniligtas ng Panginoon sa kanyang mga kaaway. This is consistent sa prayer life ni David na kung saan he always recalls, always recounts sa kanyang mga prayers. He meditates and recalls God's faithfulness in delivering him from his enemies. Verses 3 to 4 tells us that it was God who fought his battles. It's always, kung titingnan nyo sa Bible, it's always God. Sa Old Testament, lalo na, God is always the one fighting yung battles ng kanyang mga anak. Now, kailangan natin maunawaan na sa redemptive history, si David ang anointed king ng Panginoon. Na kung saan, kung sino ang makikipag-away kay David, makikipag-away sa nation ng Israel. Kapag nakipag-away sa nation ng Israel, ang kalaban mo ay si God. Okay? So yun po yung mismong nakaland sa redemptive history itong storya na ito. That's why from there, David is confident enough to cry to the Lord because they are the anointed people. They are the chosen race. God had made a covenant with them. Now bilang mga anak ng Diyos na naglalakad ng may katapatan at paninindigan sa salita ng Diyos sa panahon natin ngayon, marami tayong mga kaaway din. That's the truth. Every day, probably, nakikita mo ang kaaway mo. Maaring yung kaaway nyo ay nasa gobyerno at yung mga panuntuan na hindi nyo gusto. Maaring ang kaaway po ninyo ay yung mga kasamahan nyo sa trabaho ninyo. Maaring ang kaaway ninyo ay masakit dito, ay kapamilya mo. Ikaw ay kinakaaway or inaaway dahil sa katapatan mo sa Panginoon. Kung ikaw yan, friends, that is okay. It's okay to suffer because of Christ. The type of suffering that you do not want is suffering because you have sinned. That's a big difference. When people suffer because they're faithful sa Panginoon, they're faithful sa gospel, that is something that is honoring sa Panginoon and easy sa ating conscience. But if you're suffering because of a devious acts of rebellion or sin, this is something sa place na ayaw mo, nanundong ka. Ngunit hindi dapat tayo maghiganti kahit tayo po ay may mga nakikipag-away sa atin. It's not in our place na maghiganti. Kasi pastor, yung nakalagay diba kay David, ang prayer niya na masugpo, na mamatay, dapat ang prayer natin, ganun din sa mga kaaway, diba? No. Again, iba yung redemptive history, iba yung timeline niya, iba rin yung timeline natin ngayon. Dapat hindi tayo naghihiganti o ilagay ang hustisya sa ating mga kamay kung pag tayo ay may kaaway. Okay? Instead, ano ba dapat natin gawin? Dapat natin sila patawarin. Number one fan tayo ng hustisya. Number one, minsan, pag binubuksan ko yung sa TV, sa ABS-CBN or GMA, na ako sa, kasi namin hustisya! Yung mga naglarari, hustisya! Ako sa, nasa korte, ang kailangan lang namin hustisya! Diba? Pati tao, tama, tama yan, hustisya, hustisya. Pati sa social media, hustisya! Diba? Nabawasan ng 10 sentimo sa akin sweldo, hustisya! Balik yung 1 dirham. 1 dirham pa yung gusto, may dagdag pa. Pero yun ang laging sigaw natin, ano? Pero sometimes hindi natin naunawaan kung ano ang justice, kung ano yung revenge. Sometimes there's a thin line. Is it because what you really want is revenge?
Romans chapter 12, verse 19. Beloved, never avenge yourself, but leave it to the wrath of God, for it is written, vengeance is mine, I will repay, says the Lord. Huwag ka na maghigante. Huwag ka na sumagot. Huwag ka na magrebelde. Kasi ang hustisya nasa Panginoon. Mga kaibigan, kung tayo po ay nakakaranas ng pagmamaltrato sa isang kahindik-hindik na kapamamaraanan, unang sa lahat, humihingi ako ng ako'y nalulungkot. I would say sorry. Ngunit kailangan po natin maunawaan. Kailangan natin magpatawad. At ang tanging paraan lamang para mapatawad mo ang mga taong ito is by committing it to the ultimate judge who knows how to judge rightly. Isuko mo na siya sa Panginoon. God is a faithful judge. Siya po ay ang maghihigante para sa mga injustices na nangyari sa atin. Friends, gaano na po katagal mo pinanghahawakan yung galit mo sa kapatid mo? Gaano mo na katagal ninanamnam yung inis mo sa iyong kaopisinahan? Minsan papasok ka pa lang, yun na yung agahan mo eh. Nandiyan ba si ano? Yun na ang agahan mo, kasama pa ng kape yun. Ano pa sinabi? Eh, ito pa ang sinabi niya. O, di ba? Agahan yun, minsan tanghalian din. Kumain na ba siya? Eh, nakabuti na, wala siya dito. Siya rin, hapo, pauwi na lang, pati merienda. Mga kapatid, hanggang kailan? Hanggang kailan mo yayakapin yung galit mo sa kaibigan mo? Hanggang kailan mo, kailan ka, hindi mo patatawarin ang kaibigan mo? Pinatawad mo na ba ang asawa mo? Kailan ka pa magkakaroon ng galit sa isa mong anak? Young people, how long will you hold that grudge against your parents? God said, justice is mine. Yung kasalanan na ginawa sa iyo will be judged isang araw. Either on the last day na pagdating ng Panginoon in that final judgment, or through the judgment of His Son on the cross. Do you see the beauty of this? When was the last time you prayed for the person now you considered as an enemy? Jesus died for His enemies. He didn't just pray for them. Trust in the Lord's righteous judgment. It's either He judged them on the last day, or He either saves them and puts His sin on the cross ng kay Jesus, na kasamang pinatawad niya. Kung ang verse 3 to 4 ay tumutukoy sa mga personal na kaaway ni David, ang verses 5 to 8 naman ay tumutukoy sa mga kaaway ng Diyos sa hinaharap. Now let's read that, verses 5 to 8. You have rebuked the nations, you have made the wicked perish, you have blotted out their name forever and ever. The enemy came to an end in everlasting ruins. Their cities you rooted out. The very memory of them had perished, but the Lord sits on the throne forever. He has established His throne for justice. He judges the world with righteousness. He judges the peoples with uprightness. Bagamat alam ni David na siya ang hari, alam din niya na may mas dakilang hari kaysa sa kanya. Mas sovereign ang rule kaysa sa kanya. Tingnan po ninyo yung verse 6. The enemy came to an end in everlasting ruins. Their cities you rooted out. The very memory of them has perished. Now, huwag natin madaliin yun. Namnamin po natin ang ibig sabihin yan. As you read that, as you look at that verse, let me say this. Ganito po magtrato ng kaaway ang Panginoon. God is good, that's true, but He's not safe. Ganito magtrato ang Panginoon sa kanyang kaaway. Kung ito ay magpapatuloy magrebelde, kung ito ay magpapatuloy na kaaway niya. Ang sinasabi po niya dito sa mga verses na to, kapag tuloy na nilang tinalo, pagtuluyan na silang tinalo ng Panginoon, and we're talking about the last days, ang kanyang mga kaaway, sila ay tunay na makakalimutan na sa mundo. When God defeats His enemies, una-una sa lahat is hindi na sila maaalala. Kasi wala na yung kasikatan nila, wala na ang kapangyarihan nila, wala na yung kilala sila sa kanilang kaalaman, tinanggalan ng Panginoon. Pero ito ay medyo mind-boggling, ano? Pero yung kaparusa, verse 6, ang kaparusahan nila ay magpakailanman. Nakakatakot na kaaway ang Diyos. Yes, maring yung pangalan mo, hindi ka nakilala dahil tinalo ka na ng Panginoon, pero yung parusa niya sa iyo bilang kaaway ay magpakailanman. God's enemies will truly get what they deserve towards the end. This is the type of God kapag kaaway natin siya at patuloy na kaaway. Friends, if this is the fate of God's enemies, should we be concerned sa mga mahal natin sa buhay na wala pa sa Panginoon? Shouldn't we be concerned? If you're a Christian, then dapat po zealous tayo in sharing the gospel, hindi po ba? When was the last time you've shared the gospel? Share the gospel. Eh, pastor, nandyan lang naman yan. Itchempoan ko na lang. Yes, okay, that's great. Plan, pray, timing, prepare. But never, never, nalang sa isip nyo nagagawin, hindi nyo itutuloy yun. Ituloyin nyo. For them to be saved, they must hear the gospel of Jesus Christ. As David deals with afflictions of verse 13, he praises God in worship and he takes comfort in the fact that God will judge in righteousness. David praises God because He is a God of refuge and stronghold. Yan din sinasabi sa verse 9. The Lord is a stronghold for the oppressed, a stronghold in time of trouble. Oppression comes sa ating buhay in different shapes and sizes. Okay? In ganun din sa different parts ng mundo. Kung mapapansin nyo kanina sa pastoral prayer ni Brother Eric, he prayed for a specific country that needs the gospel. So we do that. We do that every Friday. Okay? Because why? Kasi iba-ibang oppression ang hinaharap ng bawat bansa pagdating sa pananampalataya nila sa Panginoon. Dito we have been graced by the Lord to have exercised our freedom of religion is what they call, or freedom of faith. Pero sa ibang country, wala silang ganong luxury. So pray. Pray for these. Those who are oppressed. Maring na-oppress ka ngayong oras na ito dahil tapat ka sa paghayag mo ng mabuting balita. Maybe ikaw ay na-oppress because you are walking right sa harapan ng Panginoon. Inoppress ka, minaltrato ka, tiniwalag ka sa iyong samahan o tatanggalin ka na sa kanilang pamilya. Maybe, and this is true, and maybe the oppression that you're experiencing that you do not know of is satanic in nature. You don't know. Or maybe yung oppression na hinaharap mo ngayon ay finances, the financial crunch. Paul resonates with us in these types of trouble. Didn't you 2 Corinthians chapter 1? I don't need to look that up, you can write it down. 2 Corinthians chapter 1, verse 8 and 9. We were under great pressure, far beyond our ability to endure, so that we despair of life itself. Indeed, we felt that we had received the sentence of death. Sa paghihirap nila, Paul, parang pakiramdam nila ay mamamatay na sila. Ganyan po ang pakiramdam ng may kinaharap na kapighatian. Maaaring may kinaharap ka ngayon na kahirapan, mga kaibigan. O maaaring may kakaharapin ka palang na oppression. O maaaring may hinaharap kang oppression ngayon, may iniinda kang oppression dahil sa kasalanan na ginawa mo. Dahil may nagawa kang isang karebeldehan, isang kasalanan. At dahil doon, mabigat ang iyong kalooban and you feel oppressed. Oppressed na gansaan because you have grieved the Holy Spirit and pakiramdam mo ang bigat ng kamay ng Panginoon sa iyo because of that sin. Friends, if that is you, repent. Palikuran mo na ang kasalanan na yan. Friends, be encouraged. This verse na binasa natin is for you, is for you. The Lord is our stronghold. It tells us that the Lord is our stronghold. With that, let's turn to verse 10. And those who know your name put their trust in you, for you, O Lord, have not forsaken those who seek you. In order for us to prepare in times of trouble, we must know God's name. Now, hindi ko sinasabi na alamin natin lahat ng mga pangalan ng Panginoon sa Biblia according sa kanilang original na lingwahe. No, knowing God's name means to know God experientially, to know God's character through His Word. Ito po makakapagtawid sa atin sa mga oras ng kahirapan. We must cultivate an intimate heart knowledge of God. And because David had cultivated an intimate heart knowledge with God, tingnan mo yung response sa verse 11 to 12. Sing praises to the Lord who sits enthroned in Zion. Tell among the peoples His deeds, for He who avenged blood is mindful of them. He does not forget the cry of the afflicted. Sa unang section, si David po nagsimula at nagtapos sa praises. Pansin nyo ba yan? Verse 1, tapos ngayon, verse 11, parehong praises. But, ang pagkakaiba nito, ang verse 1 was praising God individually, praising God personally. Dito sa verse 11, he encourages others to praise God. Alam po ba ninyo bilang covenant community dito sa Crossroads, o so bilang sa church, we should strengthen each other's praises to the Lord? The praising of God benefits God's people. Have you experienced being spiritually dry or discouraged sa buhay mo? Na parang naglalamig ka and all of a sudden may gapatira na ginamit ang Panginoon na in-encourage ka, binigyan ka ng counsel o ng advice and all of a sudden you felt strengthened by that conversation, by that sermon, by that song. Friends, we should be encouraging each other's faith. Yun yung beauty ng community ng church. So I encourage you, if you're not part of a church yet, we have a membership class starting next week. Attending itong 5 weeks ng membership class does not guarantee na magiging member ka and will not force you to become a member. But if you want to understand what we believe and what we practice dito sa church na ito, might as well attend that 5 week of class. It is a first step towards membership. Number two and last, prayer. There is prayer of praise, number one. And number two, there is prayer of petition. And that's from verse 13 to 20. Tingnan niyo verse 13. Be gracious to me, O Lord. See my affliction from those who hate me. O you who lift me out from the gates of death. As he meditates on God's faithfulness, as he thinks about God's righteous dealings from him from the past, David boldly and humbly comes before the throne of God to ask God to continuously deliver him from his affliction. Sa anong dahilan niyang hinihingi ang deliverance na ito? Tingnan niyo yung verse 14. Bakit siya humihingi na, Lord, tulungan mo ako. Lord, tulungan. Di ba normal lang naman yan? Pastor, kapag yes, actually, yes, you can. Pero tingnan mo yung layunin sa verse 14. Ito yung purpose why he wants the Lord to deliver him. That's reason. That I may recount all your praises. That in the gates of the daughter of Zion, I may rejoice in your salvation. What he is saying dito. Ano ba sinasabi niya dito? He is saying, Lord, deliver my life so I could continue recounting all of your marvelous deeds and praise your name to the watching world. He prays for God's deliverance so he can praise God more with the nations, with the people's seeing. Kaano kagaling ang Diyos ng mama na ito? That, my friend, should be our desire. when we ask the Lord to deliver us from an affliction. Lord, save us so that we may give you glory. And God does sometimes do it, but sometimes God doesn't do it. And you will learn that from chapter 10 next week. Kung bakit? Because sometimes God wants us to persevere in pain, but He provides us with grace, sufficient enough for us to go through. And through our sufferings, God gets the glory. In verses 15 to 16, David's confidence increases dito. The nations have sunk in the pit that they made in the net that they hid. Their own foot has been caught. The Lord has made himself known. He has executed judgment. The wicked are snared in the work of their own hands. Higayon, salah. Ang ibig sabihin po neto, ang judgment ng Panginoon sa kanyang mga kaaway, just to put it shortly, ang judgment ng Panginoon sa kanyang kaaway ay matiyak. Mangyayari ito. Hindi natin alam kung anong ibig sabihin ng higayon o sela. Dahil wala talaga nakakaalam ang ibig sabihin ng terms na ito. It was lost. They could be probably musical term or musical direction. Higayon suggests a tone of meditativeness. Alam mo yung meditate yung tone. Ginagamit for meditation, which probably slow. If you would notice yung superscription, yung title above ng chapter, ng verse 1, ng chapter 9, sinabi ho dyan is played in accordance to Muthlabenit. Which means, it's interesting yung Muthlabenit, ang ibig sabihin niya, death of son. So, ano yung ibig sabihin na ito? So, yung kanta na ito, ang instruction ni David, probably should be played or sang in a solemn, meditative way. Meditating on God's greatness. Meditating on God's goodness. We're not sure. But look at verse 17 and 18. The wicked shall return to Sheol, all the nations that forget God. For the needy shall not always be forgotten, and the hope of the poor shall not perish forever. So we're again hearing echoes of the first half ng psalm na kaninang inaral natin. Pero pansinin niyo yung verse 17. The wicked shall return to Sheol. Sheol means grave o libingan. Pero isa pang napapansin natin dito, di ba dapat the wicked should go to the grave? Bakit may salitang return to the grave? Tilabagay parang galing na siya ron at bumalik. Well, the enemies of God, this is poetic, but this is the enemies of God. And truth is, are by nature dead. They are by nature dead. Sabi ni Paul sa Ephesians chapter 2, verse 1 to 2, and you were dead in the trespasses and sins in which you once walked. This leads us to the final plea or prayer request to David, verse 19, and we will end shortly. Arise, O Lord, let not men prevail. Let the nations be judged before you. Put them in fear. O Lord, let the nations know that you are but men. They are but men. Sa tingin po ba ninyo, yung plea o ang prayer request ni David dito sa Panginoon, sinagot ng Panginoon? Sa tingin nyo ba na buhay siya magpakailanman upang sugpuin ang lahat ng kanyang kaaway? Do you think that's what David sinagot ng Panginoon yung prayer request niya na yun? Did he judge the world in righteousness? Inabot ba niya ang buong mundo? I think he did not. Clearly, sa mga sagot sa tanong na yan, he no. Then, anong klaseng prayer request to? O Lord, not man prevail, let the nations be judged before you. When you say nations, buong mundo, iba-ibang lahi. This is a prayer request. Put them in fear, O Lord, that the nation know that you are but men. Siya ba ang namuno nun? Siya ba ang ginamit ng Panginoon? Pero parang yun ang direction ng kanyang prayer. What is David saying sa verse 19? One thing that we need to know about David, that he is both king and prophet. Si David po ay propeta rin. Sa sermon ni Peter, sa Pentecost, in Acts chapter 2, verse 29 to 31, Peter mentioned that si David, and I think he points some part of chapter 9 ng Psalm, David foresaw the resurrection of Jesus Christ and that he will be the king to judge God's enemies. So in some ways, verse 19 to 20 is but a prophetic message of the coming greater king who will judge the world. Friends, if this is true, because I know it is, if the coming judge is soon, he has came, he will come again, he came, he will come back again, if sa pangalawang balik niya, you are still an enemy of God, God's return is not to be celebrated. It is to be threatened. We should be frightened because the enemies of God will be dealt severely. God will judge all the enemies as mentioned in verse 6 kanina. In the end, they will be everlasting ruined. The truth is, friends, we are enemies of God. We all wanted to be worshipped and not God. We want to have our own God in accordance sa kagustuhan natin. And the truth is, because we wanted to worship a God out of our convenience, a God out of our own wanting, what happens is we have shaped and molded a God that really doesn't look like Yahweh, but a God that looks like us. And the Bible says that is idolatry. And because of that, all idolaters will be judged by God. And that's how He is going to deal with His enemies. Nagsimula tayo kanina sa pagbanggit that David is familiar with afflictions. As a king, he has gone through series of afflictions, even almost died for his people. But there is another king. A king who was ultimately afflicted for his people. Ultimately afflicted for you and me. He is called the Son of David. And he has tasted affliction for us to the point of death. This king is King Jesus. Let me read to you another prophecy that speaks exactly kung anong ginawa ng king na ito. Isaiah 53:3-10. Again, this is a prophecy and it prophesies the coming King Jesus at kung anong ginawa niya. He was despised and rejected by mankind, a man of suffering and familiar with pain. Like one from whom hide their faces, he was despised, and we held him in low esteem. Surely he took upon our pain and bore our suffering, yet considered him punished by God, stricken by him, afflicted by God. Verse 5, but he was pierced for our transgressions. He was crushed for our iniquities. The punishment that brought us peace on him, and by his wounds, we are healed. Verse 6, we all like sheep have gone astray. Each of us turned our own way. And the Lord has laid on him the iniquity of us all. He was oppressed and afflicted, yet he did not open his mouth. He was led like a lamb to the slaughter, as a sheep before its shearers is silent. So he did not open his mouth. Verse 8, by oppression and judgment he was taken away. Yet who of his generation protested? For he was cut off from the land of the living. For the transgression of my people he was punished. Verse 9, he was assigned a grave with the wicked and with the rich in his death. Though he had done no violence, nor was any deceit in his mouth, yet it was the Lord's will to crush him and cause him to suffer, though the Lord makes his life an offering for sin. Friends, this is the gospel. Jesus Christ came to pay for your sins and mine. For you, he died for the enemies of God. So that if you respond to Jesus in repentance, in faith, ng ginawa niya sa cross, you will no longer become enemies, but friends. It is good to be friends with God. But the only way for you to be friends with God is not religion. It's not being part of a huge church. It's not being a member of this church. It's by a person, Jesus Christ. Friends, repent from your sins. Talikuran niyo na ang inyong kasalanan at ilagay ninyo ang inyong pananampalataya kay Kristo at ang ginawa niya sa krus para sa inyong kapatawaran. Jesus is the fulfillment of Psalm 9. God raised Jesus from the dead and installed Him as the majestic King, Lord and Judge. Friends, I hope that as we face afflictions sa buhay natin ngayon, or about to, our praise life is strengthened by God's marvelous deeds. Look back, read His Word, look back on the cross, look back on what He has done sa buhay mo at sa pamilya mo. Be amazed, be marveled by this God. And second, pray that our trust in Him would deepen as we face different challenges ng ating buhay. Because as people of God, we should praise God for past deliverances, trust God's rescue for present and future afflictions. Praise be to God.